City Current, produced by Dakota Media Access. In-depth discussion with Bismarck and Mandan city officials. Watch on Government Access Channel 602 HD or listen on KDAC 102.5 FM. Always local, always current.
Welcome to a Bismarck edition of City Current. We're here in the studios at Dakota Media Access, and it's Wednesday, September 26th. I'm Mary Van Sickle, and I'm here along with Assistant City Administrator Jason Timonic.
Good morning, Mary.
Thanks for coming in this morning, this lovely fall morning, after a city commission meeting last night.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Short meeting, but quite a few items.
Important.
Yeah.
Important for us. Big milestone for us last night.
Yeah. Mainly the budget.
That's what I'm thinking
about. We're ready to
go
for 2019.
Yep.
Couple items before we get to that on your consent agenda. Always starting out with the consent agenda items. There were a couple liquor license moved forward last night. One in particular was kind of interesting, and that's our Laughing Sun Brewery, who'll be moving from the downtown area on Fifth Street out to more of our warehouse area out on East Front.
East Front Avenue.
Yeah.
The 1100 block of East Front.
So because the liquor licenses are site-specific, right? They
That's
have
exactly
to
right.
reapply for these liquor licenses.
Right.
And in particular, for Laughing Sun last night, it was three. Three different liquor licenses are required.
Right. So they'll have the same license they have today, which is the microbrewery license, but then they're adding a partnership. They're bringing in a restaurant partner, TaylorMade Barbecue. So they will also need a food and beer and wine license, which is our F license. But then the unique one that they're adding is a catering license as well. So then they can become a little more portable with their product, both the food product and the beer product that people know so very well.
So they will be able to go off-site of their facility along with TaylorMade.
That's right.
Or another food.
So they can do weddings, receptions, gather, whatever the case may be. They can cater your event, and the catering license allows them to take the food and the alcohol to the locations within the city of Bismarck.
Well, and while it's disappointing to lose a nice institution like they are downtown, the move out to this area was critical for them to do more volume and wholesale business.
Grow their operation.
Yeah.
Exactly.
So good luck to them. We do have some pictures up here that a panoramic view of the inside. This was posted a few days ago by them. They're renovating this facility. So again, this is a major wholesale operation. They've got the big vats back here already in. You can kind of see them in this picture. But they will be a retailer as well. It's still a brew pub that you can go into. They have a stage for live music, local big place for local music in the community. They do have an outside patio. Obviously, maybe this year we won't see a lot of action out there. Maybe. Never know. But, again, just worth mentioning that they're a big wholesaler now in town and will be canning their product as well.
And one other thing that is different at the new location from the current location, it will become family friendly. So you can take your kids there for a meal as well.
That's a nice feature.
Yep, a little different change to their business model, but recognizing that there's certainly a draw to offer that as well.
Yeah. With some good food inside. So we'll look forward to that. Supposedly, we're looking at very soon, within the next few weeks.
I've understood within the next few weeks or early within a month.
Okay.
Yeah, we'll start to see them.
I'm sure they'll be pushing out some information. So those liquor license requests were just introduced last night, correct?
Call for the hearing. So at our next meeting on October 9th, we will hold the public hearing and go through that process. And then that really finalizes the steps for liquor licenses.
Yeah. Yeah. So 2 weeks from tonight to last night, it'll come back on your agenda. The other thing on your consent agenda was a TIP 411 project brought forward by the police chief. As I understand, this is going to replace the Crime Stoppers program.
Yeah, this is a more technologically based TIP service. So if you are aware of a crime or you're aware of information that may assist in a crime, you can anonymously tip the police department using the app, the TIP 411 app. There's some information on the screen for anybody that's able to see the screens while they're not driving.
And I would assume that the police department's Facebook page, and there'll be information going out about
this. There will be press releases and information going out to all the media outlets. Of course, the PD has a really active Facebook page with a lot of followers and supporters. So there will be more information as this becomes available. Within the next week or so, you should start to see this become, and it's free to download from, you know, all the typical app stores and things like that. So encourage people, if they're looking for ways to support the police department, this is one way to anonymously provide information that could help solve a crime.
And Crime Stoppers was based on a tip line that you called into, and it was anonymous. This remains anonymous.
Absolutely.
It's just a different way, a more advanced way to, more current way to get that
Most of us have some type of mobile device in our pocket, so this is a good opportunity for everybody to help out if they're so inclined.
Okay. Check out the police department's Facebook page or their website, and I'm sure there's more information on there.
Yep.
Now, this is not meant to report traffic issues as you're driving.
No, do not use it while you're driving.
Please do not
use texting and driving.
It's really meant, as Crime Stoppers are, for investigations, ongoing things that the police department is looking for help on.
Definitely.
Okay.
You bet.
All right. So that did move through last night. It is final.
Correct.
They'll be implementing this. Okay. Regular agenda, moving on to that, there were a couple of zoning changes made. The first one has to do with the Diocese of Bismarck. And just across from Cathedral Church.
Right. Yep.
A zoning change there.
Right. And what they're doing there, I believe they'll be tearing down one of the homes in that area and then building a new rectory for the parish, for the clergymen at the cathedral. So you'll see some changes in that neighborhood, but went forward with very little public comment. I think everybody's familiar with the cathedral area. The zoning district that was created for this property is what we refer to as a planned unit development. I often call it a one-of-a-kind, tailor-made zoning district just for this use, recognizing some of the constraints on the property. So they take that into consideration. The building that's proposed for this is going to be very complementary to the neighborhood. It's you know, it's going to fit in. It's going to be done with good taste. They've got an architect involved, so it will be a nice addition to the neighborhood here. Thank you, Ben, for those images, for anybody that's able to see those. You can see it's not tremendously, you know, oversized or anything like that. It's just going to better address the needs of the clergyman.
It looks like a home.
It does, as it should. It's primarily surrounded by residential, with the exception of the church and the offices.
And the reason for the zoning change, again, was that the area is obviously a lot of single-family homes.
Correct.
Very nice historic homes, and the zoning change will just allow for this is a multifamily structure.
Right, and a lot of times when we get into these areas that have already been developed, a planned unit development zoning district is appropriate because then it lets the neighborhood know exactly what to expect, but at the same time, it kind of puts some bookends on the redevelopment opportunities that are available as well. So everybody can move forward confidently with the expectations of what was proposed and approved.
Another zoning change that was in front of the commission last night was for Drazen Zamardzik on a property that's up in North 4th Street.
Right, on the corner of 4th and Montreal. So we're just north of Century Avenue. For anybody that's familiar with the Century Bark Park, dog park, this is just west across 4th Street.
Yeah, okay.
So a vacant lot. The lot, it's a combination of a few lots up in that area, but of course these lots have been empty since the beginning of time. And
a lot of development around this.
Right. Yeah. We would consider this an infill property because everything has been built up around it, and it's been in place for many years. So I know when this went through the Planning Commission, there were some concerns expressed from the neighbors, concerns of the unknown. The zoning district previously would have allowed multifamily, which is typically anything considered four units and up. Today, the zoning change will allow not only multifamily uses, but also an office component as well. So the zoning change went from RM, which is residential multifamily, to RT. It's actually conditional RT, but the RT stands for residential transition. And what you see in an RT district is that mix of either office uses or multifamily apartments, condos, townhouses, things like that. So no definitive plans that we're aware of at this time, but the zoning change was approved without any protest from the neighborhood last night.
And the image that we have on the screen apologies to our radio listeners, but the image that we have on the screen was just put together as a hypothetical. Two buildings are not in the plan. Mm-hmm. It's just basically to illustrate that if letter A, if it's built to the back of the lot, towards the back side, mm-hmm. it has to be only a two-level building.
Two-story, right.
Some Whereas limitations. If the building B option is used, it can be a higher height.
Right.
And multiple floors.
And I think the intent there is to encourage that building to move closer to 4th Street, put the parking in the back, and then it would be a little less invasive to those existing neighbors that are on the west side of the property. There's some homes, some townhouses in those areas. Mm-hmm. And clearly, if you put a four-story building 20 feet from the property line, and you've got some smaller homes to the west, it's going to have a negative impact, both with sun and shade and, you know, view shed and some of those things. So I think some compromises were offered here to try and be compatible with the existing land use. That's mm-hmm. always one of the trickiest things when we talk about infill, is making sure that it is harmonious with everything that is in place without infringing on anybody else's expectations.
So will any of this come back to the commission again? Will we see this come back?
Not likely.
Just ready to go?
It would be ready to go. It would be ready for development. There, you know, there's a review process before the site plan and all of that if it's proposed. The only time you would see this come back to either the planning commission or the city commission would be as if the owner or the developer, whomever that person may be, would be seeking changes
right.
to the conditional zoning district.
So they have now guidelines to go by, and as long as they meet those,
that's exactly right.
Move forward.
Yep.
All right. 2-3 lane conversion recommendation by Gabe Schell came mm-hmm. back with his final recommendations last right. night.
Yeah, a month ago, Gabe was tasked with reconsidering some of his initial recommendations. We heard a fair amount of testimony from residents in those areas where they rely on street parking. Initially, some of the proposals would have eliminated street parking in exchange for bike lanes. Some of the neighbors that may have a single driveway or a single stall garage often park their car out on the public mm-hmm. right-of-way on the street. So there was some concerns from those areas, from some of the residents in those areas. So Gabe was directed by the commission to go back, reconsider his recommendations, and came forward last night with a good compromise. In some areas, we'll still see bike lanes. In other areas, there was recognition that there's already no parking in some of those places. But the intent of converting two lanes to three is twofold. It's really to increase safety,
right?
But then help move traffic more efficiently.
So really
as well.
Just added a turn lane, left turn lanes
right.
in most of the areas that we're looking at right now, again, mm-hmm. on the screen. As I understand, as I recall the conversation, it was basically a net loss of two on-street parking spots?
Right. The property at the corner of Washington Street and Central Avenue, the parking on Washington Street, my understanding, will be removed. But at the same time, that home has the opportunity to park on Central Avenue
okay.
without restrictions.
Okay.
So, and that would be to make room for that that center turn lane that we'll see in the near future.
Yeah, as much as attention has been paid to mm-hmm. Washington Street in the past. Mm-hmm. It's still a bit of a bottleneck. And I'm assuming that the traffic or the accident counts are still fairly high.
I would assume the mm-hmm. same.
There's times at the 5:30-ish mm-hmm. time frame you're going up that street and it's pretty solid.
Yeah.
Yeah. And at times moving even from Avenue C going north on Washington, mm-hmm. you're pretty much bumper to bumper all the way up there.
And, you know, that brings up a good point. We hear it frequently that Bismarck has limited north-south corridors. Mm. It's tough to traverse the city north to south. Going back and retrofitting some of those neighborhoods to make that happen, probably not the best best use of resources. Certainly would have some pretty negative impacts on some properties and things. So, unfortunately, this is what we have, so we make the best of what we
are given. I think it'll help
given.
A lot.
I really think it will,
do.
Too.
Some of these left turn lanes going, especially north of Divide.
Yes.
I think we'll keep that flowing better.
With some of the retail and office uses mm-hmm. on the east side, and we've certainly got a lot of multifamily residences on the
and
west side.
And most of that, there's no loss of parking. The parking remains on that west side.
Mm-hmm.
It seems to make a lot of sense. Yeah. So we'll look forward to that. Do you believe that those striping will happen already this fall, or were we looking at springtime?
You know, I was afraid you were going to ask because I really don't know. Okay. That portion of Washington Street, north of Divide, of course, was just rebuilt this year. And I know the striping is in place today with just the two lanes. Okay. So I guess we can report back on that. I can sure check with Gabe Schell and see what the timing looks like.
Let's talk about it again. Well, the big item on your agenda last night was the final public hearing on the 2019 budget.
Right, final
adoption. It's gone through a number of steps. So,
yes, we've been working on this since, well, our finance director, Sheila Hillman, and her staff have probably been working on this since March or April of this year. The budget committee really got ramped up in May and June and July. Of course, we introduced the budget back in early August. And last night, with very little fanfare, the budget was unanimously approved for 2019.
I was surprised. Usually there's
at least one or two individuals
or two
that
in
take
average.
The time. I thought it was interesting. Commissioner Oban remarked that we had no feedback at the public hearing, and his interpretation of that means we must be doing something right.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm sure there's some folks that have comments and aren't able to make it to the meeting. There are probably some folks shouting at their TV last night. Who knows? But for us, definitely a milestone in the process that we go through. But if I can just maybe highlight some of the numbers, Commissioner Marquardt, our finance commissioner, shared. So there was a 10% reduction in the 2019 budget compared to 2018. Only two new positions were authorized for full-time employment, and both of those are tied to the courts and the police system. With an increase in crime, obviously there's an increase in court activity, so there was an authorized position there. I think the big number for the city's total budget is $191 million, and that's comprised of a lot of different things, not just property tax, of course, sales tax, fees and charges, state aid, state distribution, things like that. So definitely a big number, but a smaller number than we've seen in the recent years. So we're trying to be as fiscally responsible as we can, recognizing that you know, we're not as flush with activity as we've been in years past, but hopefully we're doing the best we can with the resources we're given.
Well, I'd like to think, too, that maybe the lack of resistance last night, or opposition, I should say, to the budget, is that it's a pretty transparent process.
I hope so.
You know,
we try.
It's out there. We've talked about it again and again and
again.
Your staff put out all sorts of information about this. The process is happening. We want your comments. Mm-hmm. Here it is. Take a look at it. So I don't know much more you could do with that. So hopefully that's part of it, too, that if it's a transparent process, there's a certain amount of trust there. So, well, good. Now the work, you know, putting everything in place for next year, but then everything will start,
start
midwinter.
Over,
you'll be
in a few months, we'll be starting all over again.
Yeah. So. Last thing on your agenda last night was a proposal by Carl Hockenstead from Community Development to move forward on a certified local government program, which is an odd title for something
kind
that's
of a misnomer.
Basically just talking about historic preservation.
That's exactly what it is.
Yeah.
So the certified local government, this is something that the Community Development Department has talked about for a number of years. It was actually something that I started working on when I was in planning. Then we got really, really busy, and it became kind of a less of a priority than keeping up with all the growth that we experienced over the last 6-8 years. But essentially what it is it puts people in the know, historians, architectural historians, architects, archaeologists. It puts them in a position to really assist with historic preservation, both on the commercial side and on the residential side. It also opens up opportunities for some state aid or federal funding. And this is essentially, it's an offshoot of the National Park Service, which is the federal agency in charge of historic preservation.
Mm-hmm. So the commission gave approval to move forward on this, and then we'll now apply for this.
Right. So the direction from the commission to staff last night was to draft an ordinance, because in order for any of this to really occur, we have to develop ordinance for the regulations of how this will operate. The direction to staff was to put that ordinance together, share it with the State Historic Preservation Office for their information, their review, and insight and suggestions, and then ultimately it will get turned over for federal review The whole process, Carl expects it would take 9 months or so in order for this to become a an active part of our operations here.
Yeah. Again, kind of an odd title, certified local government. I thought, you know, Bismarck's been around for a long time. Mm-hmm. I thought we would be certified by now.
Certifiable, maybe. Some of us.
There you go.
But this stemmed from a conversation we had on the last program, which was the historic neighborhood or the potential historic neighborhood in Highland Acres. So we've talked about the delay of sidewalk installation and the concern from some of those owners about having a negative impact on the historic integrity of that area. One way to help move that conversation forward is to engage with a certified local government to determine whether or not sidewalks will have an impact one way or the other.
So if we go through this, we have access to more resources, different tools, different expertise, possibly some funding that could go along with this. It sounds like a winner.
Yeah, so the CLG would work with property owners, city staff, state historical society staff, and all the groups in between.
And most cities or cities of any size in the state are already
seven cities in North Dakota, and then two counties as well. We look to Grand Forks, Devil's Lake. Those are some of the larger cities that have certified local government. Everything that we've learned, it is tremendously helpful for those communities to be able to engage with that group and help projects move forward.
So the application will be put in. We'll get feedback from them, and it'll probably come to the commission again then.
Yes, definitely.
For final approval.
The commission will have to take action on any ordinance, any regulations that are created. So we can touch on this again, but it'll probably be several months.
We'll definitely
make sure we let people know. Because there was some support last night during the public input from a resident saying, you know, it's about time, Bismarck.
Let's do this.
Good for you.
Well, and I think that was mentioned that we have a tendency to rely on our expertise of the state government.
We're fortunate.
Being in a capital city, that we have the historical society right here. So that's a nice relationship and certainly will remain valuable.
Definitely.
But now we have another tool. So makes sense. So that was the gist of the agenda last night. It was, again, a kind of a quick meeting, unexpectedly maybe. But there's a couple of things we want to go back to. And one of them is the strategic plan that Bismarck's involved in right now.
We are. So the last time we met, we talked about the commission was going to have a vision and values survey and a meeting. We also had some activity at the street fair to try and raise awareness of the city project for strategic planning. So myself and some of the other city staff that's on the project team, we took turns at street fair operating a booth. And with the help of Dakota West Arts Council, there was a community canvas, a community art project. And thanks to Eileen Walsh for the idea and to Melissa Gordon, the local artist that helped put the canvas together. For anybody that saw it at Street Fair, it was a really fun opportunity to get engaged and add your brush strokes to the canvas and help. For anybody that didn't see what was going on, we had a large size canvas. I think it was probably 3 feet by 5 feet. And there was an outline of the Capitol. And everyone that wanted to participate grabbed a paintbrush and put a couple strokes on it. In the end, it's a giant mosaic is really what it is. Over 300 people participated in the project. Not everybody, but we encouraged as many people as we could to sign the back of the canvas after they'd put some strokes on there. There's a picture on the screen now of Eileen. She's got her arms around that giant canvas. We don't know where the project, where the community canvas will land. That will be up to the board of directors with Dakota West Arts Council. So there's been some suggestions of the best places to put that so the public can see it. I think it's a fantastic piece, very colorful.
Yeah, really fun.
But it was a nice way to draw people in and then talk about strategic planning, because I've said this before and I'll say it many times going forward. The strategic plan for the city of Bismarck is two things. It's the roadmap for the future for the next 3 to 5 years, but it is the roadmap for our community. It is also the roadmap for our organization. So we need to hear from the public. We want to hear from the citizens, the business owners, anybody that has something to share about Bismarck. We're listening. We're always listening, but we're intently listening now, because those comments and that information will help the commissioners guide the future over the next 3 to 5 years. We're also looking at much bigger 20, 30-year timeline. Think big. Think imaginative, think creative. We want to know all of those things. So it's a very practical approach to the next few years, but it's also a very inspirational look at what Bismarck could become.
And it's meant to be very inclusive. There'll be
Absolutely.
More public meetings, but there's also a survey that's still online as well.
Right.
That was one of the reasons you were at the street fair was to gather information
right.
for the survey. But that is live and available online for
it
people
is.
To visit and
Please.
Put your ideas in there.
You can
go to bismarcknd.gov.
Right.
And go in there and find
search for strategic plan, or there's a project website that is separate from the City of Bismarck's webpage. It's called bismarckstrategy.com, and there's a link to that bismarckstrategy.com from our website as well. But you'll find all the resources and the materials that the commissioners have seen. There will be a schedule of activities coming up. We're going to have a town hall meeting near the end of October. We're working on finalizing those details, so we'll sure bring that up again.
Mm-hmm.
But you're absolutely right. We want to be as inclusive as possible. We want to hear from as many people as we can. This is your opportunity to have a direct impact on the future of our
yeah.
community.
And I think, correct me if I'm wrong, but you're looking for creative ideas.
Absolutely.
There's nothing stupid here.
Nope.
Just talk about what you want.
Tell us what you like, what
yep.
you don't like. If you've lived in other areas, if you've traveled and you've seen things and you say, gosh, I wish Bismarck would do something like that, that's what we want to hear.
So go to bismarckstrategy.com and you can find that survey real easy. So
yes.
go
it
in there.
It takes
and
a few minutes.
Give your thoughts.
It's not just a click here. There is an opportunity for direct feedback. There's a lot of essay type answers. You know, you can be as elaborate as you want to be. And again, that unfiltered content is really what we're looking for.
Yeah. Ooh, that's scary, unfiltered content.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Moving on, another big project that's going on just this week in the City of Bismarck is traffic acquisition project.
Traffic data acquisition.
Yes.
Which streets are busy, what times of the day, turning movements, all of those sorts of things are being gathered up, and this will help the engineers and the transportation planners really do a wholesale look at how traffic moves through our community.
Yeah, you sent me some of the bullet points on this, and it was interesting. 76 intersections
mm-hmm.
are being traffic
Analyzed.
Is being counted. There's cameras,
and
then the tubes across the road.
Yep, that's the
okay.
traditional method. When your vehicle drives over
mm-hmm.
them, it registers a count. Yep.
Yeah.
But then the cameras are interesting, and you'll see them around town. They strap them right to the mast arms
mm-hmm.
that go along with it, and there's an antenna that sticks up. So I mean, they're out there, but you won't see them very long. They're only here this week, and then they're gone. So
don't be alarmed.
No.
Shouldn't disrupt traffic.
No. Nope.
Maybe it'll make people drive a little better though.
Hopefully.
Don't get me started. So they'll be down on Friday.
Right.
After Friday, they're all gone, and mm-hmm. they'll be taking that data and then helping development, engineering, all the departments
it's
be able to look at these intersections.
Better understand how the traffic flows
mm-hmm.
through Bismarck.
Yeah, absolutely. Last item on our list of things to talk about today is there's a new fire station opening up,
mm-hmm.
and we have an open house scheduled for October 6th.
Saturday, October 6th,
okay.
10 a.m. to 2 p.m.
Okay.
It's out on Miriam Avenue, so for anybody that's familiar with either the landfill or the National Guard Armory,
mm-hmm.
just east of East Bismarck Expressway, just on the south side of I-94.
Brand new fire station. This will replace the fire station at the Sleepy Hollow location.
Correct.
Just on the end of 26th Street there.
Yep. That building will be repurposed.
Mm-hmm.
We'll find another use. We have found another use for it, the storage of police equipment and things like that.
Oh,
so it will stay in the city's ownership.
Yeah.
Yes. The images that we're looking at, so this is showing not just the fire station, but also the burn building, which is the training facility that is fairly new. We've talked about it on this program before.
Mm-hmm.
They can have active fires, live fires, all sorts of climbing and rappelling and emergency situations for our firefighters, and firefighters from around the
mm-hmm.
region can come and use this facility. My understanding is on October 6th that there will be live demonstrations of some of the equipment and the apparatuses and the various techniques that the firefighters use.
Will you
use.
Be involved in these exercises,
I'll
Jason?
I'll be observing from the side.
Okay.
I don't have the skill set to rappel, so nobody wants to see
you could
that.
You could be the person in the building they have to rescue
I'd be the person on the ground that they'd have to treat after I fell, so that'd be a real live event
go.
for them to to take on. But for anybody that's curious, not just people with kids, we would encourage you to come on out and take a look. You don't get to walk around the fire stations very often. Yeah. So this is a chance to, you know, run up and touch the truck, maybe sit in the driver's seat and see what's going on. So
meet some of the staff out there and our firefighters.
Right. And really, I guess we should mention the reason this fire station was located here is it's responsive to the growth that we've been experiencing, particularly on the northeast side of town. Our fire chief and the staff are very cognizant of their response times. So strategically locating these things in the community matter tremendously.
Sure.
So this station was built just for that purpose, to recognize the growth that we will continue to see on the northeast.
Better response times. Absolutely. For where this is located.
Yep.
All right. Saturday, October 6th.
Yep.
10 to 2.
10 to 2. Come on out.
And you'll be pushing out more information on that, I'm sure, from your office.
Yep. Gloria David, our public information officer, has been working with the fire department over the last couple of days to build the communications package. So that'll be going out to media, Facebook, city's webpage, all that kind of stuff, all the usual spots.
All right. Sounds like fun. Thanks for being here, Jason.
Thanks for having me.
All right,
Appreciate it.
You next time. Thanks for tuning in to this edition of City Current.
For more information on what was discussed in this episode of City Current, you can contact the City of Bismarck at bismarcknd.gov or by calling 701-355-1300. If you have any suggestions, comments, or issues you'd like addressed in future City Current episodes, contact us at info@freetv.org. This program airs on Government Access Channel 2 and 602 in HD or on KDAC 102.5 FM radio. It's also available as a podcast on kdacfm.org and as a video viewing link at freetv.org. Thanks for tuning in to this edition of City Current.